You are listening to Heavenly Warriors, the podcast for anyone who wants to learn the deeper, supernatural truths not taught in most mainstream churches. Your hosts are best-selling author and guests on shows like The History Channel and Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh. And me, a former atheist cop turned exorcist and author. This podcast is brought to you by my newest book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons, which can be found at rickbellwriting.com, RickBellWriting.com, and by Dr. Joy Jeffrey Pugh's newest book, Beast Mark, which you can find at drjoy.com. That's DrJoye.com. Whether you believe in the devil and demons or not doesn't matter to them. In fact, demons prefer you don't believe, so you'll never know what's hitting you when they attack. The truth is, we have invisible enemies who want to rob us, attack our families with sickness and addictions, and cause us to struggle financially. We want to help you become a stronger and smarter heavenly warrior. Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh, I'm not even going to ask you how you've been because I kind of had a little birdie told me before the show, you've been a bit under the weather with something that hit you for maybe the last week or two or maybe a couple of weeks. You've had a congestion, a cough, and that sort of thing. What happened?
I tell you, I don't really know. I just really started getting sick one night early in the morning and just developed a lot of respiratory issues with sinuses and cough and kind of in your bronchial tubes and that kind of thing. But I still got to do a lot of the things that I wanted to do for the last 2 weeks. But it's been under a little bit of duress because, you know, when you're really sick like that and having to take antibiotics, you don't really feel the greatest. But thank goodness I didn't have, high fevers or any kind of weird thing other than just the fact of the congestion. And when you do podcasts and when you have to sing, which I do a lot of things at church, it makes it very difficult when you have a little bit of a cough or you have a little bit of a congestion or being able to hold a note or either sing to a high note. I've had to kind of work around all of that, but I'm thankful that the good Lord has allowed me to do some things that I wanted to do. And one of those things during that time that I was sick, and sometimes I feel like that Satan has a lot to do, demonic activity has a lot to do with it.
You better believe it.
Because there were two or three things during this time that I've been sick that were very, very important to me. I really wanted to get the chance to see the movie After Death because of the work that I do on near-death experience.
Yes, great
movie.
Yeah,
it was a great movie, and everybody, if it's still available, I really encourage you to go see it because it really does talk about the near-death experiences and a lot about what my research has been over the course of a long, long, long time that has incorporated a lot of that into it. So I really wanted to see that movie, and I didn't want to miss the opportunity. So I did get to see the movie. Did not feel really great, but I got through the movie and got to see it and really, used the research that I think they put forth in the movie to add to, I guess, what you would say is a confirmation of the work that I do. So I really wanted to know that. And the other thing was, on Halloween, our church hands out Bibles to trick-or-treaters. And so last year, I handed out about 600 of them. And so we had ordered like 150 more, and it was really cold that night. The wind was just blowing, and of course, I tried to be really wrapped up. But I actually handed out about 750 Bibles.
Wow.
And so, I know that it's just strange, and we've talked about this. If I'm going to have a really good podcast, it seems like I wake up that morning, I don't feel good. It's like Satan is just really oppressing you. Demonic activity falls around you to try to keep you from getting to that point. And I had a bunch of podcasts during that time, radio shows, and then I had music at the church that I needed to do. But thank goodness God brought me through it. But I'm going to tell you, going right up to the point of especially the night that I had to do my AMA show, which is a two-hour show of nothing but me talking because I'm just asked a question and then I have the floor. It's all that I've got to talk about. I took a picture of myself because I wanted to remember how sick I was sitting there doing that. And now I look back and I'm like, whoa, you really did not look good doing that show. But, you know, it was funny because people who listened to it had no clue that I really had been sick. So it's like the Lord provides for you when you need it. And it might be right up. You just got to keep your faith. And right up to that minute, he'll just the door will open. You'll go through it, and you will do fine. And so he really sustained me through it. But I just think it's interesting that I had so much to do in these last 2 weeks, and boy, was the demonic thing, oppressive stuff, really, you know, coming down hard on me. I would tell you that there was a couple of days that I went through just, I didn't know whether am I going to make it through this oppression. I mean, I already felt sick. And when you're sick, you know, that's when Satan's going to come at you when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And you're tired is kind of like being sick.
Yes.
It's just that that's when you're at your weakest point. And I think that there was so much, you know, driving me to get these things done, because once I put that on my schedule to do, I'm one of those people, unless I am just not totally physically able, I'm going to be there because I'm going to keep believing. Even if I'm so sick coming right up to the point, I'm still pushing through for that last second for God to step in for me. And he does.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen time and time again. So it has been a little bit of a wild ride, but it tells us that what we are dealing with today and what you and I are talking about on this Heavenly Warriors, it's very real.
It's all real.
So I'm sure people feel the same way that I feel about what I've been through.
It is all real. And you are you would fall into the category of a super achiever. In other words, look at the education that you've look at the work you've done to get to this point in your life, the books, plural, you've written. And these are not little 24-page paperbacks. This is significant body of work. The downside to all of that is your tenacity, you're tenacious in that nothing will stop you. You'll just keep going even when you're sick, even when you don't feel like going, you will keep pushing yourself. And sometimes you will break down your body further, but because that is a tendency you have, God gives you grace in that area. You see, he didn't call you to this work, Dr. Joy, because you were a quitter. He called you because you were a tenacious fighter, like a bulldog, like a Georgia bulldog. You've heard that term. You get a bulldog on a ham bone, and you're not going to pull that ham bone away from that bulldog. That bulldog will take your arm and add it to his ham bone collection with it. You're that way when you get on something. I understand that because I'm that same way. The things I've done in my life, earning a seventh degree black belt in, you know, Taekwondo karate, becoming a champion kickboxer, training with George Foreman's in his camp, being a police officer, putting my life on the line, crawling on my belly in the projects apartments with a shotgun at 3 o'clock in the morning to bring a drug dealer out who was holding his girlfriend hostage. He was high on cocaine. Oh, it just goes on and on. So all of those things I've done, it's because I'm not, there's something different about me. And I didn't understand this for many years because I was adopted at birth. My book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons, tells my story of how I was given up. My mother was a pregnant Catholic schoolgirl. She gave me up for adoption. She rejected me. She never wanted to see me. She never touched me. When I was born, the doctor asked her if she wanted to hold me, and she said, no, take him away. That started a real thing. A spirit of rejection entered me at that point, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in this. But the tenacity that I had, I didn't understand it until my adoptive parents passed away when I was in my 20s. My mother died when I was 26. I was a police officer. My father killed himself a year and a half later, and I found him. It was a horrible, horrible thing. Those were my adoptive parents. It was from alcohol. They were alcoholics. I a few years later, met my biological father. Now, my biological mother, the one who didn't want to, you know, ever see me, she refused to meet me. I was adopted through the Catholic Church. She was Catholic, and it was all arranged through the Catholic Church. The Catholic priest reached out. They were devout Catholics, my biological mother's family. The priest reached out to her and said I wanted to meet her. And look, I'm not like an ex-convict or I'm a very successful, you know, 30-year-old entrepreneur at the time, business owner, very successful. You know, I had a good life. I'd never been in trouble. I'd barely gotten a speeding ticket. I was a police officer, for goodness sakes. Things had worked out for me, but she didn't want to meet me. She refused to meet me. So I met my biological father, and he embraced me. He did not know I was alive. He was told I had died and didn't know that. Come to find out, my brother, I have a brother who was in the Green Berets. He was an Army, captain in the Army, and ended up in military intelligence. I have two sisters. One of them was a professional triathlete, did the Ironman triathlons in Hawaii. My other sister is a marathon runner. So I find these people who are biologically connected to me, and they're all like me. They're tenacious. You can't do those things. My brother jumped. He was a paratrooper. He was airborne. He jumped out of an airplane on a mission, and his parachute didn't open. It was a night mission, and they were flying low, and they didn't have, you know, long to open their chute. He jumped out. His chute didn't open, and he hit the ground, landed on his feet. He broke his back in that. He got up and went on and did the mission with a broken back, okay? High pain tolerance. Said all that just to say that for me personally, when I got out of boxing, when I retired from kickboxing, oh, it was the hardest thing because my identity was tied up in that. I was a champion and I had the ego thing going. So I tried to find something else that would kind of fill that void. So I got into triathlons like my sister did, and I got into bicycle racing. And I started riding 100 miles races on bicycles, 100 miles at a time. And I loved that. I fell into that. I said, oh, this is the greatest sport it is. It's a single endurance thing that you get out there and you just ride. Well, come to find out, all these years later, after the Lord called me into the deliverance ministry and I started learning some things, I have found out, I knew this, but it's been driven home to me in the last couple of weeks like never before. I remember that birth when my mother didn't want to see me. There was a spirit, a demonic spirit of rejection that had an entrance into me. It was invited into me. Now, I was an innocent baby. I didn't invite it in, but the actions of my mother brought it in. Your parents can speak either blessings or curses into you. People listening to this podcast know exactly what I'm talking about. If you had a critical parent, father, or a mother, they can wreck you. They can speak things into your spirit that will take you a lifetime to deal with in therapy or whatever. So I had this spirit of rejection that drove me to super achieve. And all of the things, just like I was speaking about you a minute ago, all these things that you do, people see it as so unusual. My God, what does she not do? But to you, the person who does it, it's just normal. It's not really any big thing. It's just the way your mind works and the tenacity that you have. So it's the same thing with me, but there's a driving force behind all that super achievement. You know it's not normal to do all the things you've done. It takes something driving you. You got to have motivation to be a champion kickboxer. Something's got to drive you. What was my motivation? It was that spirit of rejection telling me all the time, you're not quite good enough. You got to work harder. You've got to beat more people. You've got to knock out more opponents. You've got to earn more money with your gym. You fill in the blank, all of these things that drive you to achieve. So one of the things that has always just bothered me, and I just wrote it off, I didn't pay much attention to it. I'm in a business where I perform at various locations. They're called gigs, G-I-G-S. I'm a musician and entertainer, and I do a lot of weddings and things like that. Well, I play at restaurants, and I have what's called residency gigs there, where you sign up for 6 months or a year, and you play at the same place every week. I would find that when one of my residency gigs changed something, the schedule changed, or they opted out of doing music on that night, or whatever it was, no big deal. It was a small thing because I can instantly replace the gig when, you know, God's given me favor doing this, so I'm in high demand because I'm, you know, really good at performing and entertaining family stuff. You know, it's not drunk 2 a.m. bar stuff. It's family oriented restaurant things, and the kids love it, all that. So it's easy for me to get another gig. However, anytime that one of my gig situations would change, it would crush me. The rejection of it, even though logically it made no sense. It is illogical. They're not saying they don't want me. They're saying that their particular management, whatever has changed, their financial situation, whatever it is, and that's not going to fit in their mix anymore. It's no problem. I just go down the street to the next place that wants me. But it would wreck me. And this thing started getting worse, Dr. Joy, over the last, 6 months. I've just noticed it would get harder and harder. And I would play it over in my head like a loop, the rejection. It was an endless loop of stuff. And finally, I started becoming depressed. And I'm not a depressed type person. I'm a super achiever. If I start getting depressed, I'll go get on my bicycle and ride 30 miles. And that, boy, I feel better after that. I started having this heaviness. And I'm saying this for listeners out there who struggle with these things. I'm the deliverance minister. I'm the guy that's called into this a decade ago and has been doing this ever since, talking to people, helping them, teaching people. And I'm suffering with it. That's to tell you, don't feel bad or down on yourself. This thing has to be worked out. So for the last 3 weeks, I have felt like a weight was on me, and I couldn't shake it. And I said, God, what is going on? I just would go long walks and pray, Lord, show me. He said, it is that spirit of rejection that is rooted in you. Now, listen, I'm a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, laying hands on, prophesying Christian minister. All that stuff, fill in the blank. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that's what God's done for me. That's what He does through me. I don't do it. But I'm a Christian. I have all that stuff. So if you've been taught that a Christian cannot have an attachment that drives parts of your life, you are wrong. They have taught you wrong, as they have in so many things that Dr. Joy and I talk about on here. Yes, a Christian can have a demonic stronghold that has attached in areas of their life. Not every area, but there are parts of you that can be triggered. Triggered. I laughed at that concept when I first heard it because, you know, the snowflakes and the, you know, people with the agendas would always say, well, that triggered me. So I, you know, you have to use my proper pronoun or I'll be triggered. Well, that triggering works both ways because there are things that can trigger that spirit of rejection in me. And we are at such a time in the history of this world, there is an atmosphere now of demonic forces pouring in to our realm, and they are exacerbating what you already deal with, the struggles that you have. And that thing can be dormant in you for years. Hear what I'm saying. It can lay dormant in you, but then can be triggered. And it is like a programming that's in you. You cannot choose to just flip the switch and it goes off. It is a process you have to work through. It's like pulling weeds out of your garden. You don't go pull one weed and then it's done. You got weed after weed after weed. And you're out there all day pulling these things up. And there may be some more that grow up tomorrow you have to go pull out of there. It's the same thing with these demonic strongholds that are in your life. And if you're struggling with something, and I know pretty much everyone under the sound of my voice, at this day and age, with what's going on right now in the spirit realm, you're struggling. If you're a Christian and you're taking the time to listen to this broadcast, you're being attacked. You know you are. There are things that are in your life that God is trying to reveal to you at this hour because, hear me out, oh Lord, it is only going to get harder from here. It's not going to get easier. And let me say this one more time. This is Rick Bell speaking. This is not Dr. Joy. I'm telling you what God has shown me, all right? Do not be sitting around waiting to be raptured out of here. Get everything you can get in order. If God chooses to take us in the next 10 minutes, hallelujah, I want to go. I'm ready to go. But I don't find that in my Bible. I find some other things that are pretty clear that say we're going to go through some things. In fact, we're going through some things right now, but it's only just beginning. So start dealing with your own situation. Ask the Lord, show me, God, where's the stronghold in my life that I'm struggling with? Don't be ashamed of it. Just confess it to Him and let Him start to work some things out in you. Because the atmosphere we're in right now, you've just witnessed Hamas attack and behead babies in Israel. How can a human being do that? They can't be in their right mind. Is it mass hysteria? Mass insanity? I believe it has something to do with maybe some drugs they're ingesting. Dr. Joy, I just heard about an hour ago before we came onto this podcast about some drug that these Hamas soldiers ingested before their mission into Israel.
Yes, that's in fact very, very, very true, Rick. And I have a great interest in this because of the work that I did in my book, the new book, Beastmark, because anytime that you look at changing the internal workings of our mind through drug-induced behavior, that you will be able to do things that you normally would find either very unhuman-like or anything maybe even like that you would really do. And so when I heard it kind of broke on the news maybe a week or so ago that they were saying that this drug, Captagon, was considered the poor man's cocaine, and that what they had found was this, it's a methamphetamine-like substance, and it was actually found on a lot of the Hamas people who were actually killed during the raids on Israel, but also on some of them that they captured. And so I thought it was interesting because I went back and tried to find out a little bit about this particular drug. Understand, and they were showing it on TV as a tablet. But it can be in like a cocaine-like powder, or it can be mixed in like a liquid and used like a white fluid. And some of the attackers had some of those different things on them. The other thing is, when you talk about amphetamines, they are such highly addictive things that anybody, if they ingest them, can get into serious trouble. But what I thought was interesting was that it, as I did the research on it, it appears that this has been a kind of a staple that the Islamic people, especially in Iraq and Syria, had already been using in some of their terrorist attacks. So in doing a little bit more investigation, what I found that what happens when a person ingests this in large doses, it gives them a feeling of superhuman power. In other words, they have the ability to stay awake. They can be focused on just one thing all day long. And they can go without food for a very, 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 very long time. And what this drug does is eliminates really all your fear and all your hunger, which is quite amazing that a drug could do that to us. But when you look at the viciousness of the attacks that were done on Israeli men, women, and children, how they were tortured, they were burned, they were just blown up. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that just horrified me was I know that they released some footage to some of our top personalities as far as news people. And I know the lady that's on Fox, she was talking about how horrific it was, and she couldn't really watch the clips that I guess it had been sent to her. But the fact that they had raped older women so hard, Rick, that they broke their pelvises.
Oh, my word.
Now, I'm going to tell you, the thought of that and what they were doing to the children, decapitating them and kicking them around like footballs, that definitely is far exceeding anything that is human. I mean, it's barbaric. In any other words, you can't even use a word for it to explain how terrible that particular, you know, drug is. It and the fact that you could commit such heinous crimes with complete calmness, totally being indifferent, you know, really not being affected by it. But, you know, the more that I read about Captagon and that the fact that it's that amphetamine like that, it really has the potential for inducing these psychotic reactions. And anytime we look at psychotic behavior, I mean, you're really dealing with something. And the other thing, it takes us back to the Garden of Eden, when we know that Cain killed Abel and he slew his own brother. When God, Creator, comes looking, he tells, you know, when God says, well, Cain, where is thy brother Abel? And Cain kind of slams the Creator, am I my brother's keeper? He had no remorse. And so what we're seeing in this with Cain, he had a psychotic tendency.
Yeah.
And so what are we seeing now? We're seeing the same thing happening with these people who are murdering and killing and doing this horrendous, you know, tearing their bodies apart, burning them, everything that you can imagine. It goes, you know, it goes further, because what I'm seeing in this is that it arouses these feelings of euphoric frenzy.
It's demonic. Let's call it what it is. They're opening portals. They are subjecting their body, will, mind to demonic entities. Let's call drug use what it is. And I know you agree with me. Anytime you lower your inhibitions, you numb yourself up, be it alcohol, be it cocaine, be it marijuana, whatever that is, you are opening up your front door to the burglars to come in. The demons will come in, maybe a lot at once, maybe a little by little. But make no mistake, drug use of any kind is going to lower your inhibitions. And someone else going to, how many of, have you ever known someone that they were a pretty nice person until they drank? And then when they would get drunk, they would become the mean. Their whole personality would change. My mother, my adopted mother, was that way. She was the nicest, sweetest Southern belle you'd ever meet during the day. But at 5:15, after they got home at 5 o'clock from their job, their work, the business they owned, she would start to begin to morph into the meanest West Texas rattlesnake you ever met. All right. That's because the demons would start to take over. So back to your point, these, you know, in World War II, Hitler gave the German soldiers methamphetamine like M&Ms. They all had methamphetamines daily, all day. That's how they would stay up. That's the only way he stayed in the war as long as he did. He was giving these soldiers methamphetamine to keep them awake, keep them fighting. It made them want to fight. It made them agitated. Guess what? The American soldiers found out and said, let's give some of this, quote, medicine to our troops. So they started giving methamphetamine to the American soldiers the same way, because it was working for the Germans. But what it's doing, and people listen, drug use has become so pervasive in our society, and everything, alcohol, it's the whole thing. Listen, I'm not slamming alcohol. That's not what I'm saying here, but I'm telling you, you have to make a choice. As a spirit-filled Christian who's trying to do a work for the Lord, which all of you are, or you wouldn't be listening to this. This would bore you. you would turn this podcast off. You would not be interested in what we're saying unless you're called. God's called you to do something. You cannot afford to allow alcohol to come in, because what it's going to do, even one drink, it is going to open you up to spirit activity, okay? Stuff's going to come into you, and it may stay there, or it may just make you make a fool of yourself for that night, or whatever it's going to be. But this whole drug use thing, and what Dr. Joy is pointing out with these Hamas soldiers, that was not human. You cannot do what she just described and be a human being. That is from the pits of hell. That's what you would find in the pit of hell going on down there. Torture like that of innocent babies. Think of holding a little baby in your hand, your arms, looking at that thing. How in the world could you do anything? How? It's not possible. But the drugs will do that. And we're inundated in our society right now with medication. Let me tell you one other thing while I'm on that subject. Dr. Joyson happens to be a therapist, a licensed counselor. She did this stuff for years. She doesn't, I don't think she has patients anymore, but she did this. The Lord spoke this to me the other day, and he said to tell them, be very careful who you choose as a counselor. When you choose a therapist, you are going to open up parts of your soul to that person. And if that person is not a spirit-filled Christian, you can be opening yourself up. You know, some people, Dr. Joy knows this, some people will spend 30 years in therapy. They'll spend $200,000 on therapy and never get any better. They just come, and these therapists will milk them for, you know, not all of them, but some of them. And it's not because the therapists want them to. The therapists don't know any better. They don't have any answers. They have academic answers, what they learned in school. The problem is most, and I'm saying this as a layperson, not as a doctor, in my opinion, most of the problems people suffer that they're in counseling for have demonic spiritual roots to them. You can't medicate that out of some person. It's a Band-Aid you can put on it, but it's a knife wound. You can't put a Band-Aid on a knife wound. It has to be stitched up and cared for. It's the same thing. So be careful if you're in therapy. You've got to know that. You got to find this Christian person that you bear witness with that gets the Jesus thing and understands the working of the Holy Spirit. If they're just coming at your treatment from a purely secular standpoint, it's not going to work. It'll make you feel better for the first hour or two after you leave there, but then those demons will creep right back into your mind, and you'll be can't wait for your next weekly session to get in there and spend your 55 minutes. It's always 55, so they can clear you out for 5 minutes, get the next person in there. I know how it works. So be careful about therapy. Dr. Joy, you want to comment on that? Would that be true?
I think it is very true, because a lot of the things that you see in the diagnostic statistical manual, especially in regard to affective disorders and personality disorders and that kind of thing, bipolar, schizophrenia, there is an element of some medications that you can give that will really like relax an individual and put them kind of in a stupor. That's the only thing I can explain it.
Yep.
And a person can't function day after day in that kind of stupor. If they do, they're not really living their life. And if you can regress a person back, or either have a person be willing to be open about what happened to them in their childhood. A lot of people just want to shut it out, and some people will do screen memories to try to block it. I mean, there's some things that you can do in hypnosis that can give you some indication as to what might have really happened with a person if they cannot or say they cannot remember. But most people can go back in their childhood and think about these little trauma incidences that have happened in their lives and how it's built upon itself. If you are smart enough to be able to do that, then just like you mentioned earlier, when you have things happen to you as an adult and you realize and you see why you're doing what you're doing, then you have to work toward Satan has found that Achilles heel in you. Mm-hmm. He knows that it exists. So if he can finagle something in your life to bring back that response that you had to that first stimulus. Everything is stimulus response. Everything is stimulus response. And, you know, I go back and I think about the Pavlovian dog experiment that is so tried and true in the field of psychology. And that is that they fed dogs and they rang bells while they were eating. And then they took away the food and rang the bell and the dogs salivated. So you can absolutely, once you get a certain stimulus, then other things can trigger it in your life and you don't know, like, why am I depressed? Why am I feeling down? Why does this upset me? Go back and think about those first traumatic events. And sometimes it may have been just something very simple, you know, that your mama did this or your dad did that or said this or a best friend did this. I mean, there's a lot of things. A lot of people don't like to talk about sexual abuse that happened to them as children.
Right. Difficult.
But I will tell you, Rick, that the numbers of people that I had to deal with that had these issues later on in life, many of them were either physically abused or sexually abused.
Yes.
And some people just don't like to come out and say, you know, I was raped by my father, or I was raped, you know, messed with by my mother, or my
yes.
uncle did this, or my older brother did that. I mean,
difficult,
they,
very
some
difficult.
People, yes,
to talk
very,
about.
Very, very difficult. But if you want to get past
yes.
where Satan has grabbed a hold of you
yep.
and put an oppressive, it's kind of a dent in your body, okay?
That's right.
And he knows where that little dent is. So when you get older, and we have things happen to us, and then you go, why am I feeling so this? And why can't I have a relationship? And why is this happening to me? Am I just unlucky? No, what you've got to go back. You've got to go all the way back. Be honest with yourself. And if you can find a good Christian therapist.
Yes.
That's what you need, is a really good Christian therapist that you can pour out your feelings about what happened to you as a child. Because you'll be surprised in being able to open up, to express the anxiety, the pain, the suffering that you had as a child, and have somebody work you through it to desensitize you from having that stimulus anymore
yes.
in your life. You have to fight those demons, because there is where those can attach to you. Now, I don't believe that a Christian can be possessed by any means, but we can be oppressed and attached to, because Satan is always looking. His demonic entities that are all around us in the spiritual world, I mean, we know in Daniel, the book of Daniel, they're called watchers. So they're watching you, and they're going, okay, now, she had a problem when she was a child, and so now she's got this relationship, and what can I do in the spiritual world to cause them to have a little bit of a problem?
Yeah.
And if you don't realize that you are literally fighting against a demonic world, and people will say, well, you're just giving too much credit to the devil. It tells us in Scripture, we do not fight against flesh and blood.
Clearly.
But against principalities and powers and higher places. So right there tells you that even though a person may be hurting you or doing something to you, there is a demonic presence involved in anything evil.
Clearly.
And so if it can keep you from ever achieving where you need to achieve, it's going to do that. You know, we talk about this Captagon that we were mentioned earlier. In 1961, unfortunately, it was a German chemistry firm, which I always say everything come out of World
German.
War II, because they were using, like you said, the amphetamines
yep.
that Hitler was charging his people up. And mm-hmm. if anything, he even wrote that his intention was to biologically create a human being that would be a warrior that would not have any feeling.
Uberman.
In other words, they could march
Super.
Into battle
yep.
nonstop and kill with the most violent killing
yep.
and be programmed to do that. So when we look at pharmakia, that is the word what sorcery means in the Bible, and it tells mm-hmm. you to stay away from it. But when this particular drug was actually developed, it was actually developed to give to hyperactive disorders in children and people who had narcolepsy. That's people that just fall asleep,
mm-hmm.
and people with depression. And what happened was they saw how highly addictive it became. And the more a person became addicted to it, the more they wanted, they needed. And then you started with the psychotic stuff on top of it, where people do weird and crazy things like we saw. Heinous acts, terrible crimes, people doing you know, the most psychotic killings mm-hmm. that one can imagine. And we saw that in Israel. We
yes.
have seen
yes.
what it's like for somebody to be driven yes. by demons that have been opened up. And when you take that stuff, I mean, there's all kinds of books. There's books that talk about DMT, LSD. There are books out there that will tell you that when you take that, your pineal gland literally opens up and you
is.
Become a portal.
Yep.
For demonic activity to possess you.
Listen what she's saying, everyone. Listen to this.
It's scary. It's true. And I know some people don't want to believe in that, but science is proving it over and over and over. I mean, that's why I wrote this last book, Be Smart, because you have to be careful about everything you put in your body, everything you listen to. You are a tuning fork. And if Satan can use anything to attach to you, to oppress you, to go to the point of possessing you, he is going to do it in these final days. We're at the end of time. You can see everything lining up across what the scriptures have told us. We couldn't be any more closer to that when it says that the nation of Israel will be surrounded by countries who want to just do whatever. And before, Israel could fight one-on-one. But what's happening is there's this little country no bigger yep. than New Jersey
being surrounded
to fight major countries that have, you know, these unmanned aerial vehicles that they
yes.
can send over.
Yeah.
They have all this, Iran and them, they have some of them have nuclear warheads. I mean, there's all mm-hmm. kinds of things that are just putting their, you know, missiles right at that one little country.
Mm-hmm.
Never in our history have we seen it like this. And when you talk about Iran being the old Persian area,
right,
and how, you know, the books talk about Ezekiel, Daniel, those prophets, they talked about that one day all of that with Gog and Magog would mm-hmm. happen. We are seeing that fulfilled along with everything else, the plagues, the pestilences, the change in our weather, the
yes.
change in everything. It's becoming just like scripture says, a woman in travail, when she gets closer to the birth of that baby, it really, everything that can break loose in terror, they come closer and closer, the way she's going through her body and the pain and the suffering and all of the cramping that happens, it gets closer and closer and closer and closer until it builds to a point that, boom, the baby's born.
Yeah.
We are literally seeing that fulfilled like never before. And it says the generation that sees these things happen, it's the final generation. And one of the biggest things it says, when the gospel is preached to the world, then shall the end come.
Right.
And that's been done.
We're
so
there.
So everything is in order
yeah.
leading up to a terrible, terrible situation. And now that I believe that demonic activity, you know, I don't know, we talked about on the last show, or I think it was the last show that we talked about CERN
mm-hmm.
and opening up the portals and what's going on. I truly believe that the demonic activity in this world has gotten so much worse. Even just looking at this Captagon, these pills, this has become a huge industry. Syria is making all kinds of money, which is funding their terrorists and
right.
giving money to Iran and Iraq to continue the process. They are making huge amounts of money off of this Captagon because it's an easy pill to make.
Yeah,
it's not like other things that require a lot of extra stuff. These things can, this Captagon can be made very easily, and in some places it can be like 50-cent a pill. Sometimes, a dollar a pill. Other places it may be $50 a pill. But what I'm saying is that the drug industry is rampant, and you would be surprised how many of your neighbors are taking prescription medicine not correctly. And then, the thing about it is, Satan knows he's got the world connected through pharmakia, through sorcery.
Right.
And
right.
when the mark of the beast is put in place, and you cannot buy, sell, or trade, and you can't get your hits and your
mm-hmm.
cocaine and your Captagon and your, you know, pills that you're taking wrong and whatever, then you're going to be more chained in a physical body that can't, because you just can't go from 1 minute taking that stuff and cold turkey it.
Right. No.
So he's got you right where he wants you if you're hooked on this stuff. because the moment you can't buy, sell, or trade, you can't go get your drugs, then the option is going to be, well, to get your drugs, you got to take that mark of the beast. And if you take that mark of the beast, you have sent your soul to hell. No way out.
You're done. You're done.
You're done.
And isn't it interesting that the Bible explicitly talked about pharmakia?
Yes, as sorcery.
Think about
that. The word sorcery.
Yes. All back in the days of the Bible, that was foreseen as going to be the biggest challenge to people, pharmakia, which is sorcery. It is that. It is witchcraft. Anytime you're opening your spirit up with drugs, any kind of numbing or anything, witchcraft is going to happen. You're inviting demons in. And those demons are going to have ideas that they're going to feed you and thoughts, and they're going to motivate you to do things that are not godly. They're not going to be good. They're going to be to take advantage of someone to, you know, you're number one, the narcissistic spirit, demonic thing. All of that, these things are pouring into people. And let me touch on something that you said that was very important. When you've been the victim of abuse, whether that's sexual abuse, molestation as a child, it is very difficult to talk about. But I want you to think of it this way. You're in a room with a door closed, and there's a demon in that room with you. You've got to get the demon out of that room. That room represents your life, okay, and your emotions. The only way to get that demon out is you have to open the door to evict him. You open the door by opening yourself up to share what happened to you with someone so that you can, there is freedom in that. Believe me, that's why the Bible says, confess your faults, and it's not a fault of yours, but that just means confess the intimate things about your life to another Christian. Because when you do that, you kick that door open. And you begin the process of throwing that demon out the door. You see, you can never get that demon out the door if you won't talk about it and open that door. As long as you keep that door closed on that secret place in your life, that demon's cozy, happy in there with you, and he continues to wreck you and eat away like a termite at your foundation. But you can't get him out unless you're willing to open that door, all right? And that means sitting down and talking to someone saying, this is what happened to me. It is the most, Dr. Joy will tell you from her time as practicing, it is the most liberating and freeing thing. She has probably seen, my God, I don't know, dozens if not hundreds of patients when they broke and they confessed that thing that happened to them. They talked about it. It's like a dam breaking, isn't it, Dr. Joy, emotionally with them?
Yes, it is. And I think that once they express it and you talk about it, yes, it just literally helps a person, and then they start healing. Yes. But as long as they have it repressed, repression is a very terrible thing. If you repress, you can keep repressing. Finally, it's going to come out in other
right.
ways.
Right.
Either
it's coming
drinking
out.
Or smoking
it's
or,
coming out.
Or doing something to try to maintain what's happening. So if you will get over that repression, then because if you don't do it, things like guilt and anger and other things, jealousy, things come into play, and then those things attach to you, and it just builds and builds and builds until you either explode or you get into drugs or you get into alcohol or you get into sexual misbehaviors or whatever. But if you go back and address the very root of the problem, you have to go to the root of the problem. And if you ever do that, then it gets rid of all the other.
That's right.
I think one of the greatest really psychotherapy cases was with a Freudian case that they had. It was called Albert and the White Rat. And the little boy got bit by a white rat that I think that his dad had as a scientist or, you know, doing things. And as he grew older, as this child grew older, he became so afraid of anything white. So he got so bad that he had to be institutionalized, and they could not figure out why is it every time he sees something white. And when they regressed and found out that he had been bit by a white rat as a child, And then they desensitized him by finally getting him in a room with a cage with a white rat at the end of the room. He finally walked down as they worked through it over a long course of time. He was finally able to put his hand in the cage and pick the rat up. When he did, he walked out of the mental institution. So it's kind of like if you ever have had something happen to you, it's better to go and seek counseling about it so that you get rid of that guilt, anger, fear, whatever's built up in you, post-traumatic stress disorder. Everything needs to be brought out on the table. And if you, let me just say this, it's like if I have someone come to me and they want counseling, and they tell me that they're having, you know, this demonic presence, or if they've seen UFOs or aliens in their room or whatever they've had happen to them. If they're not willing to tell me what they are doing that is a terrible sin that's drawing those things to them, then I really cannot help them.
You can't help them. Same thing with deliverance.
One of the cases that I had was a man that really finally told me that he was really looking at pornography. And he was having these visitations at night. It was scaring him to death, and it was nothing but demonic activity. And so I told him, I said, if you will get that out of your life, if you will rebuke that and not do that anymore, those things will quit. And every time you see those things in your room or in your presence, you say, in the name of Jesus, I command that you leave. Well, sure enough, you know, I get a call back. He's not having any more problems. He's like totally ill. Okay, like 6 months goes by, and I get a call from him. And he's like, they're back. And I said, what did you do wrong? And he sat there, and he said, I started back looking at pornography. And I said, as long as Satan can get you back into doing his work,
yeah,
those beings, they'll come back. And this time I said, he brought seven back with him. Because once you drive out that first demonic connection, then they're going to bring seven back. And if you keep doing it, they're going to be 14 the next time and 20. I mean, they'll get to be so many more coming back, because if he can find that little loophole again in you, it's just that you have got to rebuke it. It says in Scripture, rebuke it. You don't put new wine in an old wine bottle. You have got to stay true to what you do. And any alcoholic, any drug addict knows that. If you ever get away from it and you go back to it, the second time is hard, the third time is harder, the fourth time, and you finally get to the point that you can sever your relationship with God. You can get so far away, you can sever it from Him.
That's right.
So it's important that whatever you are doing, that when you go to a therapist, for them to truly be able to help you and get to the root of the problem, you've got to be willing to tell. If, let's just say you molested somebody, you killed somebody, whatever it is that you did, you've got to be able to confess it and get to the root of it so that you can change. And again, there is nothing that God will not forgive. He wants you to come to His throne and ask for forgiveness. He will forgive you. He puts it behind you. You're not, it's never going to be remembered. But if Satan keeps saying, oh, well, you're not good enough, you really want to do that, if he can get you to go back to doing what you were doing, then it's a harder process, because every demon brings back his buddies the next time.
Always. When Jesus set someone free in the Bible, it was demonized, he said to them, now go and sin no more.
That's right.
He told them. This is Jesus that cast him out. You'd think if anybody can do a permanent deliverance, it'd be Jesus. Yet he told them, now, the demons, I got them out. Now, you've got to go and clean your life up and sin no more. So that's how this whole thing really works. And as we come to the end of this this episode, I want to encourage the listeners, if you've enjoyed this, share it with someone who needs to hear it. That's how we grow in the algorithms of where these things are posted. When you share it, then the algorithm will share it more with other people. If it sees people sharing it, give us comments on it. If you like it, give us good reviews. Go to Apple Podcasts or anywhere you can find podcasts. This is listed. And I would encourage you to download any of these episodes that you really find helpful. Because there's coming a time, and this is a whole other episode we'll go into, there's coming a time when the internet as you know it and we know it will be no more. There will be, at some point, a, quote, cyber attack. And that cyber attack will be to get us toward the new monetary system where they, the beast system, all of that. But the cyber attack will be on the internet. They have to shut down this information flow, because as long as people are getting this information flow, they can't implement that new world order and where they're going with it. So the internet as we know it is going to. That's why they're talking all the time now about a possible cyber attack. And start noticing how much you hear about a possible, probable, imminent cyber attack. That's what that means. Doesn't mean a bunch of credit cards get hacked. That too, the financial system. But it's going to have to do with the internet, because this is their greatest enemy, is these podcasts, these interviews, these shows that the alternative media does, the Christian media. See, we're Christians are the target. It's not Republicans or Democrats or Independents or Green or Blue or Purple Party. It's the Christians. We're the ultimate target, and that's who they're coming after, and that's who they want to shut down. They just get to us through different methods. So go ahead and start downloading these and have them on your computer or on a hard drive that you'll have, so that if you don't have access to the internet at some point, you'll still have these on your computer that you can play for your friends and listen to, have listening parties or whatever. So that is what we would encourage you to do. And as always, we thank you for listening in. Dr. Joy, I'll let you close and we'll say goodbye.
Well, I think today has been a really eye-opening show for anyone that's not aware of how demonic activity is infiltrating our present world. And so, like I always say, your greatest asset is your soul. Guard it with your life, because that's the one thing that, you know, God gave you as your inheritance for eternal life, and you want to make the right choice. So be aware of your surroundings and help your family watch and wait for him, but also be prepared by keeping your oil lamp filled up with your oil, so when the bridegroom comes, you're ready to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Thank you for listening to Heavenly Warriors. You can find the show notes for this episode at heavenlywarriors.com. If you join our mailing list while you're there, we'll send you something free as a thank you. Once again, this podcast is sponsored by my newest book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons, which can be found at rickbellwriting.com, RickBellWriting.com, and Dr. Joy Jeffrey Pugh's newest book, Beast Mark, which can be found at her website, drjoy.com. That's drjoye.com. If you liked what you heard, make sure to subscribe to Heavenly Warriors and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, and Audible. Do you know someone who would benefit from the Heavenly Warriors podcast? Please send them a link to this episode. We only grow when our listeners share the podcasts, and we really appreciate it. May God bless you. Until next time.